Good morning. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 103. We're going to do things in reverse order this morning. We're going to do the sermon first, and then we're going to respond to the sermon by giving and singing together. And I've told y'all all along, and we've done this before, but there's so many Sundays where we look at a passage of Scripture, and when you really think about what is the best way to respond, you know, to this passage or that passage, so many times the best way I think about, at least the first way to respond to a passage, is just in praise. It's just in singing. Have you ever felt that way? You read a passage of Scripture and you're like, there's so much to do this, but or do with this, but the most important thing right now is, how great is our God? And we just respond with just singing His praise. Well, all along, we come across a good passage of Scripture, as well as Chandler and I syncing up on the same page, and we say, hey, this is one of those. This is one of those. Let's look at God. Let's stir our hearts up to love Him. And let's do that first, and then let's just sing together as a church family and sing our hearts out. Are y'all good to do that this morning? My goal this morning is not to lecture you, though I will. It's not to teach you, though I will. But my goal this morning, I just want you to understand, everything we're about to look at in Psalm 103, all 22 verses, my agenda is this. I just want to stir you up. I know you love God. I know you do. But sometimes life kind of like puts a little dim on our light, doesn't it? You just kind of get run down. You're in survival mode. And this morning, I don't want to push you. I don't want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. I just want you to look at Scripture, and I want you to remember your God. I want you to just love Him. I want you to love Him. I hope to stir you up today in a way that even when you get up in the morning, you're like, yes. And maybe by Wednesday, you're still thinking about Psalm 103, and you're like, yes. I hope to just stir you up, because I'm telling you, listen, when you love God more than anything in this world, you'll have victory over sin, you'll have joy through struggles, you'll have endurance to the end. When you love God, you can go, you can go, you can go. And so this morning, I want to stir all of us up to just love the Lord and remember all the reasons we have to do so. Look with me, I'm going to read through Psalm 103, and I want you to follow along and listen. And then we'll make some observations together. Psalm 103. David writes, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses and His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame, and He remembers that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, and the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. So, bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his host, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Did you hear that? You hear that? Do you get what we just read? I read all that to TC yesterday, and she said, that's a lot. I said, yeah, it's a lot of good stuff. It is a lot, and it's packed with everything you need to stir your heart up, to stir your soul up, to love God just with fresh zeal and love. And so this morning, I don't want you to just listen. I want you to be grabbed by this passage. I want you to follow along. I want you to take notes. I want you to write in your Bible so that tomorrow you can look at this again and remind yourself over and over of what Psalm 103 says. Here's what I want you to see this morning. In this passage, we have two commands. We have 22 verses. We have two commands. The first one is, bless the Lord. And the second one is, don't forget his benefits. An easier way to say that is, the first one is, bless the Lord. And the second one is, remember. Bless the Lord and remember all his benefits. Don't forget his benefits. I want us to spend a little bit of time looking at these two commands. Let's look at the first one in verse 1. Bless the Lord. You see that? Verse 1, bless the Lord. Verse 2, bless the Lord. You skip on down. Verse 20, bless the Lord. Verse 21, bless the Lord. Verse 22, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Do you see that? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is in within me. I had a pastor that said Psalm 103:1 is the psalm you quote when you find yourself eating and you forgot to say the blessing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Yeah, all you dads are going to enjoy that one. I want you to think about just saying the blessing for a minute, though. Like, what does it mean to bless the Lord? I think if we think about saying the blessing over a meal, we can understand what David's talking about here when he says bless the Lord. Think about when we say the blessing, what are we doing? Now, some people say, well, you don't say the blessing, you're supposed to ask the blessing. Let's think about this. What does it mean to bless? Are we blessing the food? You know, we say, Lord, bless this food to the nourishment of our body. And God's like, are you serious? There's 5,000 calories in that one bite. I mean, all things are possible with him. But I really want you to think about this when we say the blessing. It'll help us understand what's going on here in Psalm 103. Are we asking God to bless the food, or are we blessing God for providing the food? We're not asking God to bless the food, though I don't know that that's wrong. But when we pause to say the blessing, we say the blessing. We are using our words to give thanks for what the Lord has provided. We're acknowledging, before we stuff our faces, we're acknowledging that God did this. I think we take that for granted in America. There are many places all over the world and throughout history that you weren't guaranteed the next meal. And anytime you had food in front of you, thank you, God. Thank you, God. We're thanking God when we say the blessing. We're thanking God for his grace. We're thanking God for his gracious provision. We're thanking him. We asked him for daily bread. He's delivered on it. And we're blessing him. We're blessing his name. We're saying, thank you, Lord, for this daily bread. In Hebrew, the word bless here in Psalm 103 literally means to kneel, to bless God. And so just think about that posture. To bless God is to honor him in his presence, to humble yourself, to kneel saying, you have done this. You are great. I am not. You are big. I am small. To bless God is to kneel and give thanks. Thank you, my God, my King. I don't know about you, but sometimes saying the blessing at every meal becomes a little bit awkward. There have been times like in my family, and we're serious, we're going to pause and give thanks, but I say the blessing at breakfast, I say the blessing at lunch, I say the blessing at supper. And it's like, can one of y'all do it? I feel like I'm saying the same thing. Have y'all ever felt that way? So we had to spread the ball around, that way everybody can kind of have a fresh approach on this, because just a few hours ago I acknowledged the same thing, but sometimes saying the blessing at every meal just becomes more of a formality than a real prayer of thanks. Sometimes we say the blessing at a meal, it just becomes something that you just do. It's just words you say, maybe more out of good manners than a sincere conversation with God, your provider. You ever been there? You catch yourself just kind of like tipping your cap, you're just doing it because you're supposed to. As our kids were growing up, I would always try to remind them that we aren't just saying some words so that we can eat. When we would stop and say the blessing, I would always hammer it to my children, we are disciplining ourselves in this moment to slow down, to pause, and genuinely thank God for providing for us. We don't ever want to get to the point that we take these things for granted. And y'all, that's exactly what this verse is talking about when it says, verse 1, bless the Lord. I think if I'm going to stir you up, if we're going to stir ourselves up to love God, we need to slow down, we need to pause, we need to discipline ourselves to remember all his blessings. The breath in our lung, the food on our table, and everything in between. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. To bless God means to pause, to kneel, to give thanks, to praise God, to thank the Lord. But y'all, listen. Our message this morning is not just like a definition and an analogy. It's Psalm 103. That is what it means to bless the Lord. But when you stack up all that follows, it's so much more than just a definition. It's so much more than just kneeling or pausing or giving thanks. It's all you're doing as you kneel and pause and give thanks. Look at what it says. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Look at the next phrase. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. You ever talk to yourself? I didn't know if y'all were on the phone or not. I knew some of y'all weren't on the phone. He's talking to himself. And y'all, listen, this is an important spiritual discipline for you as a growing Christian. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself. You got to tell yourself what to do. And that's what he's doing in verse 1. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. He's talking to himself. Bless the Lord. He's stirring up his soul. And y'all, sometimes you got to stir your soul up. You stir yourself up. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. If you'll do this, verse 1 is the cure for familiarity, numbness, and indifference toward all God's goodness and blessings to us. I mean, let's go back to saying the blessing. Think about like how we taught our kids to say it. God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. By his hands we are fed, thank you Lord for daily bread, right? You can just say that mindlessly. Or you can talk to your soul and say, think on what you're saying. Think about what you're saying, O soul. Think about the words that are coming across your lips, O soul. Do you know what you're saying? Do you mean what you're saying? Do you believe what you're saying? Do you ever talk to yourself like this? Do you ever say to yourself, listen to what you're saying? Listen to yourself. For example, if we just said the blessing in that way, it's one thing to just say God is great, God is good, but it's another thing to stir your soul up to these words and say, God is great. Oh soul, do you believe that? Oh soul, do you get that? Our God is the one true and living God. Our God is great. Our God is good. God is great. God is good. Oh soul, do you get that? Oh soul, are you listening? Oh soul, isn't it true? Thank him. Let's thank him for our food because it's by his hands. Like his hands have done this. By his hands, however little or however much, whatever's there, by his hands we are fed. Oh soul, do you appreciate that? By his hands we are fed. Thank you, Lord, for daily bread. Just enough for what's needful for today. Do you stir your soul up to the words that you use and speak to your God? And I'm just using the blessing as an example. It's an easy example for how to slow down and think about what you're saying. Think about how you're thinking about your God. But y'all, we do the same thing with the gospel. Sometimes we get as sloppy with the information and facts of the gospel as we do say in the blessing. Oh, Lord, thank you for this food. Bless our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. You just say something. But also, we say, what's the gospel? Jesus died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And we just move on like nonchalant. Do you hear what the gospel is? God so loved the world that had sinned against him. But he loved us in spite of everything that's wrong with us. Just pause. We deserve death and hell and his full wrath for our offense and sin against him. But he loved us. He didn't give us what we deserve. He gave us his love. His son came, lived a sinless life in our place, did what we couldn't do. None of y'all are perfect, but he was perfect for you. Do you just sit and think about that? He lived his life, fully God, fully man, but he lived it in his humanity for you. And eventually he went to the cross and like a sacrifice, a sacrificial lamb, our sacrificial lamb, he was sacrificed for our sins. He was punished for our sins. He died in our place. You ever just sit and think about that? Not, oh yeah, Jesus died for my sins. You ever think about he died for you and he died for your sins? You think about how serious sin is, how much God hates sin, the price that was paid to set you free from your sin. Does that make you love God and hate sin? Think on the gospel. It's one thing to say, God is great. He is. God is good. He is. But God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Do you ever just think through John 3:16 that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life? I didn't have to earn it. I didn't have to clean myself up. God did all this, and he offers it as a free gift. It's free. All I had to do was turn from my sin and say yes, and he's the one that helped me do that. He saved me in spite of everything that's wrong with me. Do you say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, think about your God and what he's done. Do you stir yourself up to consider these things? Or is the gospel just as mindless as the blessing? We joke about the Sunday school answers to any Bible question, right? What's always the Sunday school answer? God, Jesus, Bible. God, Jesus, Bible. But we joke about that, and a lot of times, we never give any real depth of thought to God, Jesus, or the Bible. And we become numb to the glory and grace and greatness of our God. Even our gatherings on Sunday to worship becomes, just routine. You ever feel that way? You're doing good. You're still going to church, but you're just going through the motions as you do. What do? Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Look at it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What David is doing is what we must do. He's challenging himself to wake up, re-engage from the deepest part of his being. Wake up. Re-engage and celebrate what we have in God. And y'all, that's what I want to do this morning. I want to walk through Psalm 103 almost to wake us up, to re-engage us, because if we're not careful, we're finishing the spring run, summer's coming, and we're just going to put it on cruise control and get numb to the glories of all that we look at week after week and day after day. I hope you have a great summer. But I want to tell you, I hope more importantly, you will stir your soul up to bless the Lord. Don't forget what he's done for us. Look at it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. You see that? All that is within me. What's the weight of that? For me, it's this. When the service is over and the song ends, when I lay down at night, still on my bed, my soul and all that is within me still gushing with praise and thanks and adoration of our God and his unending goodness and love toward me in spite of everything that's wrong with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, even as I fall asleep. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. That's sweet sleep right there. A lot of times your mind turns on and you're thinking about everything else. You're worrying about everything else. Discipline yourself. Talk to yourself. Stir yourself up. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, think about what you know about your God. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, and all that's within me. Not just words or deeds, but the depths of my heart, God. It says, bless your name. So verse 1 kind of, and really this whole psalm provides the cure for any numbness toward the grace of God. It starts with challenging yourself to wake up. Praise the Lord, but let's look a little more. How do you wake your soul up? You want to do verse 1? You want to bless the Lord with all that's within you? How do you do it? That comes to our second command. You do this, you do verse 1 by remembering verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The second command is remember. How do you talk to yourself? How do you stir yourself up? Count the ways. Don't count sheep. Count his benefits. Think on everything you know to be true about your God. Remember those things. Think on those things. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Remember your God. I think that's probably some of the best advice I could give any growing Christian. If you want to be a growing Christian, here's an important thing you need to do on a regular basis. Remember your God. Just remember him. Think about your God. Think about him. And if you sit and think about God, you're like, okay, what should I think about? Two things, who he is and what he's done. And let your mind run wild. Who God is and what God's done. Think about your God. Think about who he is. Look back at verse 1. Verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. And then what's it say? Bless his holy name. What does it mean that God is holy? It means that he's set apart. He's one of one. He's one of a kind. He's the one true and living God. He's perfect. He's the standard. He is good. He's him. Who is this that we are thinking about? The one who never had a beginning. The one who spoke creation into existence. The one who made you in his image. The one you sinned against. The one who loved you anyway and sent his son to die for you. The one that saved you and forgave you of your sins. The one that will send his son back to get us one day. The one we will live with and who we were made for. We will live with him to get together forever one day. Like him. Who is this? God. The one and only God. He's our God. Look at it. Verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy, hallowed name. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. I'm starting my prayers with remembering who I'm talking to. You want to remember who he is. But we also, as we remember him, we want to remember what he's done. Y'all, in the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, God has revealed to us who he is through what he has done. How do you know who God is? By looking at what he's done. Who he is and what he's done. Now, listen, here's maybe a trick. As we remember what God has done, we're forced to think about two things at the same time. You got to think about your sin, and at the exact same time, you got to think about his grace. Those things run together, okay? When you want to bless the Lord, you need to remember him, who he is and what he's done. And as you remember who he is and what he's done, you want to think about your sin and his grace. They go together. You got to think about your sin and his grace at the same time. And here's the deal. Without our sinfulness and failure as the backdrop, these attributes of God don't make sense. You say, well, what attributes? Well, verses 3, 4, and 5, and following. What has God done? Well, look at verse 3. Think about your sin and his grace and what he's done. This is what you want to dwell on. You want to think on. Verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquity. What's your God done? He forgives your sin. He forgives. You want to remember that. Think about your sin, but his grace. He forgives all your iniquity. Look at the second part of verse 3. Who heals all your diseases. You think about diseases, you think about sorrow, he heals our sorrow. Our God forgives, our God heals. Look at verse 4. Who redeems your life from the pit. Think about who God is and what he's done. He redeems our life from the pit. He redeems our life from death. Do you hear this? Listen. Stack this up in your mind. Our God, what we want to remember is he forgives our sins. He heals our sorrow. He redeems us from death. You ever just think on those things? Look at the end of verse 4. Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. He forgives, he heals, he redeems, he crowns us. So he doesn't just save us, he crowns us with his love and mercy. What's a Christian's biggest boast? What's the thing we boast in the biggest? That he loves me. That he loves me. This God, he loves me. And y'all listen, I don't care how hard you are, how sinful you are, or how self-sufficient you are, the cry of every heart is to be loved. And God loves you. He proved it. Romans 5:8 said, God proved his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves you. You want to chew on something? You want to remember something? Chew on that. Tell your soul to think on that. How does he love you? He forgives your sin. He heals your sorrow. He's redeemed you from death. And he's crowned you. All this amounts to he loves you. Some of y'all are here this morning and you need to be reminded of that. No matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you've done, no matter what you're going through, God loves you. Tell that to your soul and think on it. That's not all. Look at verse 5. He forgives, heals, redeems, crowns. Verse 5, he satisfies. What in this world can satisfy us? You know, you hear me say all the time, it's more fun to want something than to have something, right? That's true in every area except for this. It's more fun to have God. It's more fun to have God. Think on this. He satisfies us. He satisfies us with good so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. What that means is he satisfies us in ways that give us the strength to persevere. When you think about eagles, you think about how effortlessly they soar. It doesn't seem like they're having to work very hard at all. But you can also think about eagles going through the molting process. They shed all of their feathers and grow new ones. So they are continually becoming young again and new again over and over as they grow. Think about that. He satisfies us with good, bringing out this new growth, new growth, new growth. So it's to the effect of even as we're aging, he's supplying all we need. We're young again, over and over. God gives us that strength, that energy to keep going, to persevere. In these first five verses, he's talking to himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me. Forget not his benefits. He forgives, he heals, he redeems, he crowns us with his love. He satisfies us and gives us the strength to keep going. Isn't that good? But y'all, there's more. You need to recognize that Christianity is not this individual sport, this individual thing. God has not just done this for you. He's done this for us. And it's as if he lifts his head now. And even you, right now, you reading this, thinking about yourself in this passage, talking to yourself in this passage, but right now in this room, you can lift your head and you can look around and you can see all the others in here and think about what all we have in common. That God's not only done this for you, but he's done it for him and her and him and her. He's done it for all of us. Like, it's not just he saved me, but y'all, we're getting together like a group of people who are like, yeah, I sinned against him and he saved me. And you're like, yeah, he saved me too. And we're like, yes, he is great. He is good. Bless the Lord. Oh, our souls, right? Like we're coming together. He lifts his head. It's like we're looking around and we celebrate from the depths of our heart that God is good. And y'all, I just want to tell you, we're going to be singing in response to this in just a minute. And y'all don't stand there like Baptists. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is, come on now. Think about what he's done for you, but think about who you're not at home watching this on TV. Some of y'all maybe, but you're in this room. Look at each other. Like, look around. This ought to be a celebration. We have this in common. Look what he's done for us. And he does this in verses 6 through 19. We'll run through those quickly, but there's so much here. Think about what God has done for all of us. Verse 6, he works righteousness and justice for the oppressed. God's got us, doesn't he? Doesn't God have us? He takes care of all of us. Verse 7, he's made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the people of Israel. Listen to this. This is huge. A lot of y'all think of God as if he's the Easter bunny. And he's like hiding, or he's playing a game with us. It's like, ooh, you're getting warmer, you're getting colder. Like, God, why won't you just say it? Look at verse 7. He has said it. He's made his ways known. He's made his acts known. He's come out in the open. He's not hidden. We're not guessing who he is, what he wants, what he's like. Look, it's clear we know who he is through what he's done, Genesis to Revelation. We know this is great. We're not in the dark anymore. There are people who are confused and don't know all kind of stuff, but we're not those people. He works righteousness. He's made known his ways. Look at verse 8. Man, you need to highlight this one. What's he like? Who he is? And you think through any page of scripture and what he's done. You know, I've always told you, no matter what you're reading in the Bible, you want to ask, what does this teach me about God? I promise you, every page of Scripture is teaching you verse 8. Everything you read in the Bible is teaching the point of verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. You hear those words? What's your God like? I'm telling y'all in a minute, when we sing, you need to sing like you got some life in you. Why? Because of those words. He is merciful. He is gracious. He is slow to anger. Thank the Lord. He is steady. We may be faithless, 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 but he is faithful, faithful, faithful. Is this your view of God? Some of y'all view God as he's always mad at you. He's always disappointed in you. He's going to get you. He's more like the boogeyman than God. Adjust your view of God. Think rightly about God. Look at verse 8. This is what the Bible says about him. He's merciful and gracious and slow to anger. He is holy, verse 1, but he's all these things, abounding in steadfast love. What does all that mean? Well, look at verse 9. Here's one thing it means. Verse 9 says, he will not, because he's like that, because he's verse 8, he will not always chide. What does that mean? He will not always chide. That means endlessly nagging or scolding you. Nor keep his anger. That means he's not holding grudges. He's not holding this stuff over your head. He doesn't endlessly nag or scold or hold grudges over you forever. Look at verse 10. He does not deal with us according to our sins. I'm telling you, if we would just sit for a minute and think about that, is that not good news? What if God did deal with us according to our sins? It'd be terrible, wouldn't it? But look at verse 10. He does not deal with us according to our sins. He does not repay us according to them. Why? Y'all, listen to this. Verse 11. Up and down. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. How high is the heavens above the earth? Like, when do you get to the ceiling? How far up can you go? Forever and ever and ever. How much does God love you? Endlessly. Look at it. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. God's love is greater than your sins. I mean, it's going up. But then look at verse 12. We go left to right. Not just up, but east to west. Verse 12, he has removed our sins. Y'all, he doesn't deal with us according to our sins. He doesn't repay us according to our sins, verse 10. But look at verse 12. It's not like he's just withholding. He stepped in and removed our sins. He removed them as far as the east is from the west. Why does he not nag? Why doesn't he hold grudges? Because he dealt with our sin. He removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Y'all, how far is that? How far east do you have to go until you find west? It's infinite. You're still heading east. How far west do you have to go to find east? It's infinite. You're still heading west. Listen, God has removed your sin that far from you. It's gone, gone. Satan may hang it over your head. Your friends may hang it over your head. Other people may hang it under your head. But as far as God is concerned, and he's the one we've sinned against, it's gone. And his love for you is higher than the heavens, and your sin's removed as far as can be removed. Never coming back. Tell your soul to think about that. Y'all, for those who have trusted in Jesus, this is true. How has God removed, how has he shown his love and dealt with our sin and removed it from us? How's that possible? The New Testament tells us because those sins were nailed to the cross. This happened because he sent his son. Do you ever just think about the gospel? That is good news, right? Or do we think about these things the same way we think about the blessing? God's great, God's good, let us thank him for our food. We keep going, verse 13. He shows us compassion like a father. As a father shows compassion to his children, the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. To fear God is to care what God thinks, and if you care what he thinks, you'll turn from your sin in repentance and to him in faith. Think rightly about God. When you stack up verses 11, 12, and 13, what you begin to see, even as you think about this good news and our character, is that, and this is important, when you stack 11, 12, and 13 up, God's character, not ours, God's character is the basis of assurance of our salvation. If you look at your character, you're going to be wringing your hands. But when you look at those words about God, verse 10, verse 11, verse 12, verse 13, when you stack all these up, how can you have assurance of salvation? By looking at the character of your God. He's faithful. He's faithful, steadfast in his love toward us. And when you tell your soul to think on this, instead of laying there worrying at night and fretting throughout the day, when you think on this, that he freely and unconditionally chose to love us and forgive us and show us compassion even while we were sinners. There's nothing you can do to make him love you more. There's nothing you can do to make him love you less. He loved you even in your sin. Man, that'll get you fired up, won't it? If you've lost that fire for God, it's just because we're not thinking about him. Psalm 103 will hold your hand and help you to do that. As you keep thinking about God, there's more, and we don't have time to get into it, but there's more. Look at verses 14 and 15 and 16. He knows how frail we are. You say, I want to do this, but you don't know me. I'm a mess. God knows. Verse 14, he knows our frame. He remembers that we're just dust. Verse 15, as for man, God understands that his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in a field, and the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and then it's no more. Y'all, God knows how frail we are. You say, yeah, I'm just so weak, though. Yeah, you are. And God knows it. And his steady love pursues you and keeps you. And he'll never lose you. No one will snatch you out of his hand. He knows how delicate you are. When you think about your weakness, like verses 14, 15, and 16, and you're going through Psalm 103, I want you to think about your weakness in contrast to the character of the one who's holding on to you. You may be weak, but y'all, he is strong. Verses 17 through 19 says he's everlasting. Look at this, verse 17. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. So you may be like dust, like a mist, like a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. You may be fragile on that level, but look at the one who holds you. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Remember, though, this is for those, verse 18, who keep his covenant. This is for those who remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Now, there are people who want to lay claim to all of these blessings, all of these benefits in Psalm 103, but I want you to be careful right here to remember this. Who do these benefits belong to? Only those who, verse 17, fear him. Only those who, verse 18, keep his covenant and do his commandments. His throne is in the heavens. He is the king. And y'all, anybody who says they know the king and don't do what the king says is a liar. 1 John 2:4 says, if anyone says he's come to know him, but he doesn't keep his commandments, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. There are so many people who say, the Lord, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John says, anyone who claims to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. But y'all, those who fear him, who care what he thinks, to the degree that they respond in repentance and faith, turning from sin, trusting in Jesus, and they follow him. They follow him, keeping his commandments. His everlasting eternal love holds on to our fragile little frames. You may feel like you are falling apart, but listen, God is not. And he has done a work that is preparing you to spend eternity with him when all of this finally comes to an end. He's got you even at the end of our lives, even at death. I think one of the most important things we can think about in this contrast between our frailty and his eternality is how small we are and how big he is. If you think about how big you are, you've got problems. You think about how small you are only, you'll despair. But if you think about how small you are, but how big this God is who loves you, you'll be just fine. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, I have this God. All that's within me. And y'all, this builds more and more. So he starts with a personal challenge to his own soul in 1 through 5, and then he broadens to include us in 6 through 19, and then at the end, verses 20, 21, 22, it just goes like cosmic in scope. When he says the two commands, bless the Lord and don't forget his benefits, he's literally talking about everything that exists needs to tune in and listen to this. Look at this. So he starts with himself. He lifts his head to others, but then he lifts his head to the heavens and he says, bless the Lord, O you his angels. Angels, y'all join in too. So he's like, soul, listen. He's like, brother, sister, listen. He looks up, angels, listen. And I can't help but think about Chandler or a choir director. He stirs himself up and then he stirs his people up and then he stirs heaven up and now he's got everybody up. Everybody bless the Lord and he's stirring them up. All of us. He is our God. He is our creator. He is our savior. He's him. Bless the Lord, you his angels. Look at verse 20. You mighty ones who do his word, who obey the voice of his word. I can't hear you angels. Bless the Lord. And then he says all his hosts. That don't mean just these angels. That means like all the angels. Angels, the armies of angels that God has. All, bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. And then not just the angels. Look at verse 22. Bless the Lord, all his works, everything he's done. Not just what he's made, but all the works that he's done. We have these right here. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Then he says, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And he comes right back to where he started. Do you feel this? Verse 20 starts with the angels, goes with the verse 21 with all the host, verse 22, all his works, and then his own soul. And what he's saying, y'all, what Psalm 103 does is he says, all things in heaven and on earth and in me. Bless the Lord. In heaven, on earth, and in the deepest depths of me, praise his name. All of us at the same time. Do y'all hear that? Do you see that? Psalm 103 reminds us that sin and sorrow and death and oppression and the frailty of life have all been met with God's grace and his steadfast love. And we ought to praise him for it. We ought to stir ourselves up. And not just ourselves, but one another. And not just ourselves and one another, but all creation. And that's what I want us to do this morning. I want us, as we remember these things, I want us to respond and bless the Lord. As we remember these things, I want us to sing and praise the Lord. I want us to respond to Psalm 103 today in the same way that we will Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So y'all ready to start our response? Our week-long response, here's how we're going to start it. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to respond in giving and singing, and I hope it carries you all the way till next Sunday. So ushers, you come, I'm going to pray, and we're going to get loud. We're going to sing. We have good reason to. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to hide Psalm 103 in our hearts, that it would be a guide to our hearts that get tired, and that it would stir us up to love you as we should. Father, I pray that you would be pleased now as we respond with giving, with singing, with praise. Lord, help us with the help of your Holy Spirit. Stir us up, not just to sing these words or go through these actions, but all that is within us, to bless your holy name. We give ourselves to you now in praise together as a church family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.